There is a famous scene in a classic movie called Spartacus. You probably know where I'm going with this because it's probably the most famous scene in, I wouldn't say any movie, but it's a pretty famous scene. But the movie is about a Thracian gladiator and a slave in the Roman Empire, and his name is Spartacus. He led a slave revolt that was eventually put down by the Roman authorities. In the movie, the slaves were told that they would be spared death if they turned over the leader of the rebellion, Spartacus, to be crucified. Well, Spartacus, about to do the noble thing, stands up, and he's about to say who he is, identify himself, but his pal next to him stands up right with him and yells out, "I'm Spartacus!" And then the guy right next to him says, "I'm Spartacus." And then everybody in the crowd says, "I'm Spartacus." Finally, the cry rang out over the whole crowd, and tears began falling down Spartacus's face as he realized what was happening. As a result, they were all crucified. They all suffered the consequences. Well, I'm not Spartacus. But there are many people in the Bible that I identify with. And I can say, I am that guy. I'm exactly that person. In fact, I think that's why the Bible is written the way it is. Because there are so many identifiable people in there. We can be like, have I sinned like David? Maybe, maybe not. But I've sinned. Have I sinned like Abraham and lied and didn't have the full faith that I needed at a particular time? Yeah, I have. The Bible is full of characters that we can all identify with. And one of those that I'll be talking about today is Barabbas. No, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. I'm not an insurrectionist, but I'm still Barabbas. When I read the account while preparing for the Gospel of Mark or the Mark class, I couldn't help but to see myself in Barabbas's place. Well, what do you mean exactly? What are you talking about? How are you Barabbas? Well, 2 points rather today. And 2 ways that I am just like him. One, I am a sinner. And 2, Jesus died in my place. That's how I am like Barabbas. Allow me to elaborate. I am a sinner. Well, let's consider Barabbas personally, specifically. We don't know much about him. The only thing we really know about Barabbas is those few verses that we see in the Gospel of Accounts. But we know right off he's not a nice man. He was a criminal, an absolute criminal, and deserved the punishment that he was about to receive. Different accounts, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they list his accounts a little bit differently, and it may not even be exhaustive. It may not be everything that he did that he was being crucified for. Matthew says in Matthew 27 and verse 16 that he was a notorious prisoner. He was somebody that people knew. Mark and Luke both call him a murderer and a rebel. John, in John 18 and verse 40, says that he is a robber. Many of the Jews of that time were not happy with the Roman occupation. And this little section of the Roman Empire here in Palestine had become a hotbed of rebellious activity, culminating in the destruction of Jerusalem, and particularly the temple, in AD 70. Gamaliel in Acts chapter 5 talks about these things. In Theudas and Judas of Galilee, two people that were that had led a rebellion at some point. Barabbas was one rebel in a string of rebels that are sentenced to death at this particular time. We don't know who he stole from or who he murdered. He presumably killed someone in connection to the rebellion, but we're not entirely sure of that either. The point is, he was a sinner, and very much deserving of the death penalty. People often say that all sin is the same in God's eyes, that sin is sin is sin. And you know what? That's true. But also not true. But hear me out. Hear me out. As I read through the scriptures, it does appear that some sins are worse than others, or at the very least, the consequences are worse. For some sins in the Old Testament, like adultery and murder, you have the death sentence. For other sins, like certain forms of fornication and perjury, you have merely to make a sacrifice and pay a fine. Think about this. If all sin were the same to God, then murder is just as bad as perjury. So then, this would lead people to the logical conclusion that you might as well just sin all you like. Doesn't matter. As long as you can escape the earthly consequences. I mean, you don't want to get sentenced to jail. But you see, even though some sins are worse than others, you know what that changes? It only changes the earthly outcome. It only changes the earthly outcome. In the end, all sin damns. All sin condemns us. All sin means we deserve the death sentence. All sin, any sin, carries with it that ultimate penalty of an eternity separated from God. We find that in many places in Scripture, including the oft-quoted Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That death is that separation from God. We can't show up on Judgment Day and bargain with God. That's not going to happen. You might try. You might say, I did that thing, but it wasn't that bad, was it? Come on, you gonna let me in? This little thing, come on, be all right. That's not gonna work. That's not gonna fly in heaven. While my sins may not be as severe as Barabbas's, I'm still a sinner. I'm still a sinner. And you know what? The Bible says that we all are. We all are. The terrifying thing is that is a terrifying fact, that we're all sinners, that we're all guilty. Of course, again, an oft-quoted Romans 3:23, all have sinned. All have sinned. That's not just a portion of the population. That's everybody. Every person that you've ever met has sinned. Every person that has existed, every person that will exist, every person that does exist today, with one exception, of course, has sinned. We all have sinned. It doesn't matter what we do. There's nothing we can do to make up for the wrong that we've done. There's a movie, Home Alone 2. This is my second movie reference, I know. Home Alone 2. It's like, why are you quoting that movie? I saw it as a kid, and there was one line in there that stuck with me. Yeah, I know. There's a guy with bricks thrown at his head several times, and it's played for laughs. Of course, that guy would probably be dead if he got. Anyway, there's this homeless lady called the Bird Lady, and the main character, Kevin McAllister, befriends her in New York, and she tells him, "Did you know that a good deed erases a bad deed?" And that stuck with me. It's like, man, that's interesting. That's interesting. But you know what? That's not true, is it? It doesn't matter what good you do, that stain is still there. You could be the greatest philanthropist in history. That one sin. And have committed only one sin. Of course, could you imagine that? Only one? Still, doesn't erase that bad deed. No good deed is good enough to erase that bad deed. You don't have to take my word for it. God's word tells us that that's not good enough. We can't earn our salvation. Of course, we see, again, another oft-quoted verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. You can't earn that. Another one, not quite as oft quoted, is Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not by works of righteousness that we have done. We can't earn that. That is not on us. Recall Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We don't earn eternal life. But we do earn death. With the bad things that we've done. We do earn that. One author describes sin as moral crimes against God, acts of rebellion or sedition against our sovereign. All this gives us is the eternal consequence of separation from God forever in a fiery torment. That part is on us. You see, my sin places me in the same place as Barabbas. No, I haven't killed anyone. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't committed sedition against our civil authorities. But if I'm honest, I have had hatred toward another. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:22 that hatred in your heart is murder. If I'm honest, I haven't stolen anything, but I have coveted, which is similar to lusting. Same Greek word. And Jesus tells us that lust is committing adultery in your heart in Matthew 5:28. I haven't done anything civil against our seditious against our civil authorities. But as we just described sin, it is sedition against our sovereign. It's sedition against the Lord. I've been rebellious. I've been an insurrectionist. I've been seditious against God for the sin that I've committed. And since we're all sinners, we've all been seditious, haven't we? You see, I may not be Spartacus, but I am Barabbas. And if the story ended there, boy, that would be bad news, wouldn't it? Think about how bad that news would be. But there's good news. We call it the gospel. That good news leads me to the second point. Christ died in my place. We see that Jesus had taken the place of Barabbas on that fateful day. Pilate had a custom we read about in Mark 15 and in John 19 and Luke 23 and Matthew 27, Pilate had a custom at the Passover where he would release a prisoner that was condemned to death. showing mercy and clemency to the people. And he would do this, again, he would do this at Passover. After some questioning, he realized, and questioning, not only that, but the dream that his wife told him that she had, she realized, or he realized, that Jesus was an innocent man. He wasn't guilty of anything worthy of death. So he tried to get him released. He put up Barabbas, a notorious prisoner, as Matthew says, a vile man, as an alternative. And amazingly, the people shouted for Barabbas to be released instead of Jesus. Barabbas had killed. Barabbas had stolen. Barabbas had tried to violently remove the Romans out of Palestine. On the other hand, Jesus healed. He even raised people from the dead. He did the exact opposite of murder. He made food out of nothing instead of stealing it. Now, I don't know what Barabbas stole, but it may have been food. He was willing to do that, making food for people. The exact opposite of stealing, giving them away. He preached a kingdom that was not of this world, even urging people to pay their taxes. The exact opposite of sedition against the Roman authorities. Jesus was the polar opposite of Barabbas. And yet, the people wanted to release the guilty man rather than the innocent one. When I read through the accounts, it's very easy to put myself in Barabbas' shoes. As I said, several times already, I've not done the horrible things that Barabbas did, but in a way, I have. We've all sinned, and we're all deserving of death in the eyes of God. And just as Jesus died in place of Barabbas, he also died in my place. I can only imagine what's going on in Barabbas' mind at this time, as the crowd shouted for his release other than Jesus. Can you imagine the disbelief that must be going on in his mind? Wait a second, you're me? Really? Seriously? Guys, really? I know what I've done. You want me to be released? On the other hand, maybe he was a hardened criminal who thought he'd lucked out, saying, hate to be that guy. Then continuing on with his earlier life of crime, not giving a second thought as to his replacement. Maybe that's what Barabbas was like. Or maybe he realized that he deserved to die and was ready for death. Like that thief on the cross we see in Luke chapter 23 and verse 41. Says, this guy's not deserving. We're deserving of this penalty. We're deserving of this death sentence. But not this guy. Not Jesus. Maybe he knew about Jesus. Jesus didn't do the things that he did under a rock. Maybe he knew about Jesus and what he had done for the people, healing them, feeding them, teaching them. Maybe he didn't know. It's possible. Jerusalem's a big town. He was in prison, though, for some time. Who knows what kind of news he received in there. Maybe he would have preferred to die if it meant keeping Jesus here on this earth. We really don't know what's going on in Barabbas' mind. Regardless, Jesus died in his place, just as he died in mine. Barabbas knows what he deserves. He knew what he deserved. He knew he deserved death for the things that he had done. I know what I deserve. There are people out there that say, I don't deserve this, whenever something bad happens to them. How can you say that? By what standard? Well, when I compare myself to the perfect life that Jesus led, I know that I'm deserving of death. I know that's my fate, or that would be my fate. And anything short of death is too good for me. Yet while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. This little old guy over here, he died for me. While Barabbas was still a sinner, on his way to the cross, and deservedly so, no hint of remorse or regret that we see in the accounts, Christ took his place and died for him. God's perfect justice demanded that Barabbas be punished. But instead, Jesus, showing God's perfect love, suffered and died instead. God's perfect justice also demands that we be punished, that I be punished. But Jesus took it on himself. The only one who could have done it. You might be able to die for me. I might be able to die for you. But it's not going to get you into heaven. The only one who could have done that is the only one who was without sin. And that is, of course, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And we are so blessed because of it, aren't we? And truth be told, it doesn't matter how Barabbas responded. At least not for us. Not for the purposes of the narrative that we see in the scriptures. It doesn't matter how Barabbas responded. You know, maybe he changed his life after this. Or maybe he went right back into a life of crime. Murdering, killing, thieving, sedition. Jesus still died in his place. If he went back to a life of crime, he may have been caught, executed later. If he turned his life around, man, how much could he have done? How much good could he have done? Who knows? Who knows? In any event, Jesus died in my place as he did for Barabbas. I'm so incredibly grateful. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. Just as Barabbas didn't deserve it. Do you think Barabbas deserved to be get off scot-free for all the crimes he did? Nope. And I certainly don't deserve it either. What did Barabbas do to earn his freedom? Not a thing. What can we do to earn ours? Not a thing. There's nothing we can do to earn our freedom, to earn our salvation. The question Barabbas was given, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? And I asked Harold to lead that song for our invitation. What will you do with Jesus? He was given another opportunity. He was given a second chance. The question now is to you, what will you do with Jesus? Barabbas was given that opportunity to do something else with his life. We don't know what he did. And really, it doesn't matter. That question is now to you. What will you do with Jesus? Will you turn your life around? You see, I am Barabbas. And I hope for his sake, for Barabbas' sake, that he did not throw away this chance that Jesus had given him. My sins, just as Barabbas' sins, just as your sins, just as everybody's sins, my sins put Jesus up there. on that cross, just as surely as the Roman guards, even more so. As God, of course, we talked about that this morning in class. As God, Jesus could have just come down off that cross. It would have been so simple for him to have done so. But he allowed himself to be crucified for me, for you, for all of us. So my sins put Jesus up on that cross. Every time the hammer comes down on that nail, that's another sin. Oh, you did that. Oh, you did that. Oh, you did that. You can see in every hammer strike the agony on Jesus' face. His sins, my sins rather, put him there. My sins put him there. Just as surely as yours did, just as surely as Hitler's did, to go to an extreme example in our modern age, just as Barabbas' sins put him there, just as surely as Peter's and Paul's sins. And through that sacrifice, I have a chance. I have a chance to be saved. Barabbas had a chance to be saved. He was saved from the immediate consequences, and he had a chance to turn his life around. I have a chance to make sure that my life goes in that right direction. You have a chance to make sure that life goes in that right direction. Your life goes in that right direction. They all had a chance to be saved, and so do you. So the question now is, what will you do with Jesus? The chance to be saved is given to all of us, and none of us deserve it. But as the song says, and you must give an answer for something you must do. You know, I am humbled and awed by the cross, by what he was willing to go through for me. I see that. And it's just such an amazing sight. But I can't just sit and stare at it in my mind's eye. I've got to do something. No, I can't earn salvation. We spent quite a bit of time talking about that. I can't earn that. I can't erase my bad deeds with a good deed. I can't do that. That's impossible. But I do have to respond to it. I still have to respond to it. As I said, I have no idea what Barabbas' response was to Jesus' invitation, essentially. But my response is to accept that gift of salvation. I hope that's your response too. As I said, we don't know what Barabbas' response was. If Barabbas had continued on his path of violent crime, he may have been caught and executed later. Yeah, Jesus died for you, for me, but if we continue on our path of sin, we will be caught and we will suffer the consequences. On the other hand, if Barabbas had turned his life around, he could have done so well. He could have done so much. And if we accept his gift, the gift of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, if we accept that gift of taking our punishment for sins, and we turn our lives around, we might just avoid that ultimate punishment too. We might be able to avoid earthly consequences. Possible, no guarantee. You commit murder, you're going to go to jail. No matter how you obey the gospel afterwards, you will suffer those earthly consequences. But the eternal consequences we can avoid. We will definitely avoid those eternal consequences. And I thank God for that. So the question, will you accept his gift by obeying the gospel this morning? Now there's, up to this point, every denomination that's out there will be in agreement with everything I've said, just about. Few exceptions. But for the most part, everyone will be in agreement. But here is a point that we see something different. There are things that we must do to be saved. That's not earning our salvation. Simply doing something is not earning your salvation. That's merely accepting the gift. And so one of the main differences we have is, how do you accept that gift? How do you accept that gift? The Bible is very clear on how you accept that gift. We have to believe. It has to be clear. If it's not clear, then who can be saved? We find that you've got to believe in Jesus. I mean, that's the most important thing. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You've got to repent of your sins, turn away from them, and do what's right. Do the right thing. Now, of course, there are some, you know, not everybody's going to know all the sins that there are, but we still need to repent, turn away from them, and follow God. That's not earning your salvation. That's striving to do what's right, to please God, not to upset him further, not to further drive the nails into his cross. Confess the name of Christ. Confess his name. Tell others about him. And finally, and this is where most of the disagreement lay, we've got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. For those who think that's earning salvation, you don't know what work is. That's not work. That's submitting to God's law. In fact, of all the things that I've listed so far, that one is in the passive. Believe means you've got to believe. Repent means you've got to repent. Confession means you've got to confess. Baptism means somebody else does that to you. That's passive. That's not earning anything. The act itself doesn't absolve you of your sins. The act, along with belief, and most importantly, along with the sacrifice of Christ, cleanses you of your sins. Acts 22:16, and now why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. That's how we wash away our sins, through baptism, through a faith that leads us to obey the gospel of Christ, to be baptized. And I encourage you, if that's something that you need to do this morning, please do so. It's so important. It's so important to do that. If you're watching online and you need to do that, let us know. We want to help you. And if Christ died for you, and that's everybody, you can obey that gospel. And if you have obeyed that gospel and you potentially, like Barabbas, and going back to that life of crime, if you will, sedition against our sovereign, repent. Come back. I encourage you to do that. If you have a need this morning, if you need to make things right with God, please let us know as we stand and as we sing.